You're listening to the LifeSpring Church podcast. For more information about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Nev. Wow, what a powerful morning. Who's felt the presence of God so far this morning? That's most of us, because the presence of God is here. You know, the presence of God is everywhere anyway. But sometimes when we just have special times in the service when the presence of God is so strong. And that is this morning. I'm going to quickly pray, and then we're going to get stuck into the Word. So, Father, we're so grateful for everything you've done so far this morning. We're believing that that's not the end. It's just the beginning. You're going to continue to work in people's lives through this message, through the songs at the end, and through the rest of this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you fill me with your presence, that the words I speak are your words, not mine, that everything I say which is from me goes in people's ears and out the others, and the words which are meant from me to speak to you guys will be from you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you so much. So we're continuing our theme this morning in Philippians. If you've been part of the church, can I just ask, if you're here for the first time, just give me a wave. I'd just like to welcome you. Yeah, cool. You guys are so welcome. It's an honor and a blessing to have you guys with us. You know, Pastor Nev welcomed you this morning, but I'm just a bit more nosier than Pastor Nev. I like to know who you are. And so, guys, you guys are so welcome. It really is a joy and an honor to have you with us this morning. We hope you feel so at home. Enjoy a nice coffee or a tea afterwards and hang out. You're so welcome. So over the past few weeks or so, we've been looking at the book of Philippians, which has been really fantastic. And this morning, we're going to look at Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9. Now, I'm not going to go into too much context or too much background this morning, because we've heard it in lots of talks already. But just in 30 seconds, I'm going to tell you roughly what we've been talking about. So in the Bible, there's this awesome guy called Paul, and he didn't used to be awesome. He used to be a bit of a nutcase, and his job, or what he felt he should do, was to go and kill as many Christians as he could. He hated Christians, but on his way to one particular town of going to persecute people, he encountered God, and his life changed forever. He surrendered his life to God, and he wanted to see him glorified. He was an amazing leader. And he wrote several different letters in the New Testament. Now, at the moment, we're reading Philippians. And so Paul is writing to Philippi, and he's having a tough time in prison, but still passionate for Jesus and the gospel, which is what I absolutely love. If you want to find out more background and context, please go to lifespringchurch.org.uk and look at some of the previous messages, and we can go into lots more detail there. But let's quickly read the Word of God. Philippians 4, verses 4 to 9 says this. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be anxious. Let your gentleness not be anxious." It doesn't say that. "Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Can I get an amen for that, please? Powerful, exciting words. We could spend weeks just on those five verses, but I've got about 20 minutes, so we're going to quickly hit four amazing points, and I believe at the end we're going to be changed and transformed for the glory of God. But what I love about these first couple of verses, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." But what does rejoice mean? You know, when I was reading this, that spoke out to me like volumes. We know Paul is in prison and he's saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." But what does rejoice mean? Simply, it means feel or show great joy or delight. So what Paul is teaching us here is that we need to show great joy and delight in the Lord always. Now, who knows? That's a really easy thing to do. probably not many of us, which is why some of you giggled and some of you are incredibly silent on me. But you know, the Word of God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Show great joy or delight in the Lord. You know what? When it says always, that doesn't mean sometimes. When it says always, it doesn't mean 6 days a week. When it says always, it means always. Do you know we can rejoice in the Lord when things aren't going our way? Do you know we can rejoice in the Lord when work or school or college is tough? Do you know we can rejoice in the Lord when the cell we're running is struggling? Do you know we can rejoice in the Lord when we don't even necessarily feel the presence of God on a Sunday morning? I don't know about you, but sometimes on Sundays I see people shaking, I see people bringing fantastic words, I see people hearing from God, and I'm just like here, like, okay, yeah, this is cool. You know, I'm not feeling anything great, but I'm still rejoicing in the Lord because I know he's here, because we rejoice in him always. Whether we're going through a good time, whether we're going through a bad time, whether it's a tricky time, whatever, we choose to rejoice in the Lord. So when people give their lives to the Lord on a Sunday morning or at cell group, we rejoice. When people don't come to salvation on a Sunday morning and we're a bit sad, we still rejoice because God has changed our lives. When our cells grow or people leave our cell, we rejoice. Because Paul tells us here, rejoice in the Lord always. Because, you know, circumstances and situations should never determine whether we rejoice in the Lord or not. That is one of my greatest challenges, is what is going in my life? Does that determine whether I'm rejoicing in the Lord or not? If my cell is struggling or I'm falling out with my wife, does that determine whether I rejoice in the Lord? Or if my cell is growing like crazy and me and my wife are getting on so well, we've got 7 date nights a week, we're hanging out all the time, do I rejoice in the Lord more in those situations? Or is the Bible telling us we rejoice in God always, whatever the situation? We rejoice of whatever situation we're in. And I'm going to tell you why, as Christians, we rejoice always. Because we've been taken from darkness to light. Did you know that? So because of that, we rejoice even if I get fired tomorrow morning. Because God has brought me from darkness into light. Because we have the Holy Spirit who is in us and with us all the time. Because of that, whatever my circumstance, I'm going to rejoice. And I'm going to rejoice always, because God sent his son down to die for me and you, I'm going to rejoice. Always, because, I don't know about you, I've been forgiven. Have any of you guys been forgiven? Yeah. Whatever circumstance you're in the moment, you have been forgiven, so you can choose to rejoice. Because we get to live with Jesus forever, I'm going to rejoice. Because we have the best companion in the Holy Spirit, we rejoice. Because I am blessed that I can have a relationship with Jesus, I will rejoice. Whatever the world throws at me, because I am challenged by what Paul says. When Paul is in prison, he's saying he's rejoicing in the Lord always. So I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. You know what? I regularly say this. I'm blessed to work with the young people in the church, and we have got some amazingly happy young people, and they are a blessing. But one of the things which frustrates me more than anything else is Christians who aren't rejoiceful. You know, the sort of Christians who sit and are grumpy and are like, yeah, thanks, God. Yeah, thanks for sending your son Jesus to die for me. Yeah, it's cool. No, I'm not going to bother come to church. No, it's cool, you know. I'm just going to be grumpy about it. Yeah, my life sucks. Yeah, whatever. You know, grumpy Christians wind me up. They don't understand that what Jesus has done for you. When you give your life to Jesus, your life has been changed and transformed. When you give your life to Jesus, you have to rejoice because he has changed your life. If you've truly given your life to Jesus. If you haven't truly given your life to Jesus and you've just put your hand in the air and you think, oh, I'll give my life to Jesus, but you're going to go back to live as you were before, then I can understand life is tough. But when you truly give your life to Jesus, be rejoiceful, focus on the good, be positive, be used by Jesus to achieve the impossible. Rejoice always. Paul was in prison and he was rejoicing. We're not in prison. We're here in church. Most of us have a job. If we don't, at least all of us, I'm sure, have got a roof over our head and maybe can even have one or two meals a day. We can be rejoiceful. We are so blessed compared to so many people we come across. So point one, guys, rejoice all the time. Don't be a grumpy Christian. If you're a grumpy Christian, you don't know what Jesus has done for you, because he has brought you from darkness to light. And if you're grumpy about that, I don't think you understand what he's done for you. Point two, pray. Paul's writing here is so powerful and so black and white and so simple. It's a bit like how I work, you know. I've got my five GCSEs and my three A levels, but I'm not the brightest. I haven't got a degree. I haven't got all this. You know, Johnny and I, we're studying this theology and leadership course at the moment. And sometimes it's tricky, and that's only like year one at degree level. And I'm like, my gosh, there's some youth who are a lot brainier than me. But I love the way Paul writes, because he writes so simply. And he tells us to pray. We'll quickly look at the verses. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Nope, not that. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Now, my cell group don't hear me. I never stop talking about this, because I know the power in prayer. I know that we have to pray every single day. And I know that our devotional times in the morning are so important, even when you're on holiday, even on Christmas Day, every single morning before you leave to work, pray to God. Spend time with God. Listen to worship. Hang out with him. Don't even finish your breakfast until you spent time with Jesus, because prayer is so important. Now, I work for the church, and believe it or not, sometimes working for a church can be quite busy. It could be quite stressful. You know, I was saying to Pastor Nev even last week, so far I've been out five nights this week, and I'm in Milton Keynes all day Friday, and I'm in Milton Keynes all day Saturday, and I'm speaking at church Sunday. And sometimes, you know, life can be busy. You've got cell meetings, you've got outreach meetings, and sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming. But you know what I love about Pastor Nev is the first thing he comes to me when I see him, whenever I see him, when's your date night? Well, Pastor Nev, I'm a bit busy. No, scrap your diary. Go back through your diary. What you're cancelling, you've got to spend time with your wife. That's super important. I said, I know, Pastor Nev, but, you know, I really like playing football and my non-Christian mates are coming along. Yeah, that's awesome. Speak to him another time. You know you're going to speak to him another time. Spend time with your wife. And so firstly, busyness, over-busyness is bad. Always spend time with your wife. But prayer, or husband, you know, or partner, or not partner, husband or wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, don't hear what I'm not saying there, you know, and God is good. So, prayer is chatting to God. In every situation, chat to God. So we have prayer tonight. When we have a prayer meeting, what do? Before the prayer meeting, we chat to God. God, how do you want me to do this meeting? I want this meeting to be all about you. I don't want it to be my meeting. This is your meeting. So I'm going to chat to you and you're going to tell me. Okay, so Wednesday, it's 7:15. It's football outreach. Come along, guys. It'd be awesome. But who am I going to invite to this football outreach? God, I want to play football. I want to have fun, but I want my non-Christian mates to come along because I want them to understand that Christians are all right. And actually, I'd like to see them move from darkness to light, and I'd like to see them in this church. So God, speak to me. I'm praying to you. Who do you want me to invite? So when I'm leading the service on a Sunday morning, Holy Spirit, you're leading this meeting. Speak to me this morning. Lord Jesus, please give me the Bible verses you want me to bring, if you want me to bring any. Please speak to me as I'm sat, Lord Jesus, because this is your meeting. It's not mine. In every situation, we're praying. You see, the more we give to Jesus, the more peace we will have. You know, sometimes it's easy to do church events. You know, we've got some amazingly gifted, not behind me now, but we have some amazingly gifted musicians. We have amazingly gifted speakers. But it can get stressful when we don't involve Jesus. You know, we could pull off on a Sunday morning, you know, without any prayer, but it'd be a waste of time because the Holy Spirit is what changes people's lives, not us. And so we need to be men and people who are always prayerful in everything we do. So in every situation, bring thanksgiving and bring prayer. Thank God for our church. I'm so grateful to be part of this amazing church. It is a blessing. I'm so grateful for our young people in this church. You know, they keep us busy. They keep us on our toes. You know what? I love our young people. We started our first Monday night, a few weeks ago, we started our first Monday night youth prayer meeting. And there was about 12 or 15, 11 to 16 year olds there. And we'd say, guys, we want to do this once a month. We're so excited for this. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be brilliant. And at the end, they're saying, can we do this every week? I'm like, man, yeah, well, I don't want to say no because, you know, of course we want you to pray, but like, but I'm so grateful for our young people and how they're wanting to pray. I'm so grateful for our pastors. It's a blessing to serve under Pastor Nev and Pastor Jackie because they're awesome and we know they're guided by God. I'm so grateful and thankful for people giving their lives to Jesus most weeks on a Sunday morning because we believe we are a church which is going to be used by God to see this town changed. I'm so thankful to my wife. She is so amazing. She releases me to do so much, and without her, I couldn't do nearly as much of what I do. And I'm so grateful and thankful for my family. You know, God is awesome. And Paul here is telling us, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to Jesus. Psalm 100 says this. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Even his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his name. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Be thankful to God in every single situation. It's not like, Lord, give me a new car. Your car might have broken down and you may be praying for a car, but it's, Lord, I'm so grateful for the car you've given me the last 2 years. I'm thankful for my wife. I'm thankful that we live in a country with safe roads. I would be so grateful if you could provide me with a car. I don't want the best car in the world, but just something to get me from A to B would be such an amazing thing. You know, we're being thankful in our requests to God. Point three. Sorry, keep skipping. Thank you. Whoever did that. Point three, peace. Do you know God's peace is so powerful? You know, as I was preparing this week, you know, if there is something good, we're going to call God the good thing, there must be something bad, the enemy. But our God is bigger than the enemy. Because God won when he sent Jesus down to die for us. Because I don't know if you know or not, but Jesus isn't stuck in a grave. Jesus came to life, and because of that, we can have a relationship with him. You see, the enemy has been defeated. So we don't stress. Life can be stressful, but we don't stress. We believe in God's peace over our lives. Let God's peace fill your hearts. Peace which is supernatural. Peace which doesn't make any understanding. So when life brings anxiety, do you know when Jesus died upon the cross, he destroyed that? Anxiety has to go, and anxiety can and will be replaced by peace. You know, when life brings depression, do you know Jesus destroyed that on the cross? And we can have his supernatural peace upon our lives. You know, Jesus has overcome everything negative in our lives. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Now, we got a choice here. Either we believe what Jesus is saying is correct, or we believe that what the Bible is irrelevant. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that the Word of God is important, and I believe what the Word of God says. So when it says that I have overcome the world, I believe that Jesus has overcome the world. I'm not saying here this morning that you're not going to go through tough times. Tough times will come. But Jesus has overcome those tough times. And he will bring you peace. So many of us like to, Psalm 23, you know, as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, so many people like to sit in it and moan and be grumble. And oh, Jesus hasn't overcome. I'm going to sit and moan. But the words say when I walk through, we're going to walk through those valleys. We are going to be overcomers. We're not going to sit and sulk. We're not going to say, oh, my life is just rubbish. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's meant to be. No, we're going to walk through the valley. And God's supernatural peace is going to come upon us in every single situation. I believe that with all my heart. You know, we've just come back a couple of weeks ago from Africa, and we took a wonderful team of about 10 people, and we had a fire tunnel. Now, for some of you guys who don't know what a fire tunnel is, I'm going to quickly explain. When Pastor Nev goes to Uganda, whatever he asks people if you want prayer for, it can be anything, they're all going to come to the front there because they want Pastor Nev to pray for him. And so when it's a church, when we've got an evening meeting and there's about 200 or 300 people here, and they could be like, if anyone's got a sore foot, come to the front, and then the whole church is going to come forward because they just want Pastor Nev to pray. Now, we were like saying, if you want to be full again of the presence of God and you want to be used by him to see your city changed and transformed, come to the front. And rightly so, everyone came to the front. So what we did, instead of praying for everyone individually, we created a fire tunnel. Now, a fire tunnel was when we had about four of us one side, four of us the other side, and we would just get people to walk through and we'd pray as they went through. Really good. Hey, everyone gets prayed for about 10 people. It saves time. And it was amazing. But do you know what? As we were going through that funnel, we were having the youngest people, so we had 13-year-olds praying for these guys, as well as 60-year-old people praying for these guys as well. And we were praying for these guys. And sometimes when the Holy Spirit comes, the good stuff, the bad stuff has to leave. Did you know that? You know the Holy Spirit is bigger and stronger, and that when we pray for bad stuff to leave, it will go, because Jesus has overcome everything, as I mentioned maybe once or twice. And we were in Uganda, and we were praying for these people, and sometimes the bad things were leaving. But no one was worried, because as soon as we prayed for them to leave, we would pray for the peace of God to come on their lives. And they were looking angry, and suddenly the peace of God came on their life. Everything was chilled, because the peace of God overcomes everything. The peace of God will guard our hearts. You know, God wants us to be peaceful. He doesn't want to be stressed. You know, sometimes I run some big events in the church and I run the youth workers. Sometimes it can be quite stressful, but I hope not one single person knows I'm stressed, because I know if I'm stressed, they're going to be stressed, right? And so the peace of God comes upon me. So I'm like, man alive, why are these people not turned up? They're supposed to be here 2 hours ago. What's going on? Guys, don't worry. We're so chilled. This is going to be brilliant. Lord Jesus, give me your peace. And he does. Because the peace of God overcomes everything. If you're stressful, the other people you're working with are going to be stressful. Like if you're negative, the people you work with are going to be negative. So be positive and be peaceful, because God wants to bring you supernatural peace. Amen. Now, these last few verses, which this little thing isn't working, and I'm doing what everyone does, is point at the TV, like point at the TV is going to make it work. These last few verses, just to the last point, actually, if that's all right, please, Leonie, that'd be awesome. I'm just going to read from the Message, because I love the way the Message just says these last couple of verses. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. Focus on the best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you've learned from me. What you have heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I love that. Focus on the good, not the bad. Guys, so many of us, myself included, sometimes fill our minds up with absolute rubbish. Do you know what? It can be even the stuff we watch. We were doing a youth encounter 2 or 3 weeks ago, and man, I just started going off on one. I was like, do not ever watch horror movies. You know, we had a lodger with us who used to love horror movies. I said, you know what? Those videos aren't even, Blu-rays, aren't even welcome in our house. Because of that stuff. Yeah, but I like them. I don't care if you like them. My house is not welcoming them into my house. Yeah, but, and we came in once and there was a movie on which we weren't agreeing with. And we're like, you turn that off and we pray. Because what comes into your life can affect your life. It can be the stuff we listen to. You know, I used to love indie rock and roll music, and I still do sometimes, but all the lyrics are about is drinking too much and partying. And when you listen to this stuff, you want to do it. Or you listen to music which is talking lots about having sex with whoever, drinking champagne till 6 in the morning and whatever. And those sort of things go into your mind, and that's what you start to think about all the time. The places we visit. If we visit nightclubs or pubs all the time, that sort of lifestyle is going to come upon us, and that's what we're going to be thinking about. But you see, Paul here is so wise. Don't fill your minds up with rubbish, but focus on good things. Focus on what God is doing. Don't focus on what he's not. Look for the positive in every situation. See the gold in people's lives. But James, the youth are so noisy and boisterous, but we forget that we got 20 people in this room, of which 14 probably don't go to church. What are we focusing on? The fact that they're being noisy and being a bit naughty, are we focusing on the fact that they have come into LifeSpring Church? They are in our building, which is full of the presence of God, and without realizing it, the Holy Spirit is coming upon them, and the presence of God is there. What are we focusing on? Are we focusing on the good, or are we focusing on the not quite so good? But James, I can't believe it. I queued up for 10 minutes for the coffee, and when I got there, the coffee was cold. This hasn't happened, Maz. And when I turned up, sorry, just this is an example. And James, we turned up for ages for the coffee, and when I got there, there was no coffee. It wasn't even hot. But you've forgotten about the two or three people who gave their lives to Jesus that morning, and you're going to focus on the coffee? So many people focus on the bad stuff, not the good stuff. I remember once we had an amazing, this is about 5 years ago, Ben Hollins was at Ralph Lane and we were playing music and two or three people gave their lives to Jesus. But in that evening, somebody knocked Ben's wing mirror off. I don't know if you remember this, Ben, you probably don't. And when the parents came in, they're like, how was your evening? It's like, oh, Ben's wing mirror got broken off. I'm like, no, forget Ben's wing mirror. That costs 40 quid. I'll cover that if need be. Three people gave their lives to Jesus. This is amazing, and yet so easily we focus on the negative rather than the positive. But we need to be people who are focused on what God is doing. You know, I was just writing some things about my life. I am blessed with a beautiful house. My wife is the most beautiful woman for me. She's going to tell me off for saying this later, but I don't care because I'm going to focus on the good. That bad stuff can go when she goes to bed sulking and I'm watching Liverpool hopefully qualify for the Champions League. I'm going to focus. My wife is awesome. I'm so grateful for my 51-plate Citroen Saxo. I'm so grateful that on Friday morning I had to get up at 5:30 and travel 90 miles to get to Milton Keynes to have an 8-hour session on theology and leadership, and then have to get up at 6:30 on Saturday for the same, and then have to come here on Sunday. I'm so grateful because I'm focusing on the good. Now, I'm not saying I wouldn't like a nicer car. If anyone's out there, please, you know, I'll take your blessings. Don't get me wrong. But I'm grateful for what God has given me. You see, being men and women of God who focus on the positive will change a city. So many negative, grumpy Christians, it will never happen in this town. Well, if you think that, you know where the doors are, because I want to hang out with people who are believing for this town to be changed and transformed. God has done everything for us, so let's live with the attributes and characteristics he's given us. I was thinking, I don't know where in the Bible it says, I will be really ungrateful. You know, I don't know where in the Bible it says, I should judge the way people look. I don't know where in the Bible it says, I should not tell the truth. But I do know where in the Bible it says, I will be grateful. I will be thankful. I do know where in the Bible it says, I will look at the heart rather than the outside. I do know where in the Bible it says, I will not lie. You see, guys, I entitled the message this morning. If you just go to the last slide, Lena, be awesome. I entitled the message this morning, Good Choices Make All the Difference. So I want to challenge you guys this morning. Make your choices biblical choices. Be men and women who choose to be thankful. Be men and women who choose to rejoice. Be men and women who choose to believe that whatever situation I am in, the peace of God can and will come upon my life. And whatever the situation is, I can understand his peace. Believe that God can use you to change a town and a city for his glory. If you agree with me, guys, can you give me an amen? Amen. You know, I love God so much. He's changed my life. And before we go into praying about this, you know, God, 15 years ago now, because I'm getting an old man, he changed my life. If you'd have said to Pastor Nevin, Pastor Jackie, 15 years ago, your son would be standing on a stage and working for a church full time, they would have laughed. But God totally changed and transformed my life. And before we go into ministry time, I've just got a 3 or 4 minute clip I'd just like to show, just telling you what God has done for you guys. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to believe for amazing things to happen. Is that cool, Pastor?
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.
Cool, thank you. So, Lone, if we could just show this clip, that'd be so cool. Thank you.